God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you, His sons and daughters today, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about an alarming trend that I see in the modern church, the absence of children and young people from congregations. Where are the young people in church today? Obviously, we don't see many of them here or in the churches across America or Europe. In fact, we had a couple that visited our Sunday adult Bible study a couple years back. They're from eastern France. They lived on the border with Switzerland and Germany. And they said, it's the same thing where we live. There are no young people in church. And as I look out here, with all grace intended towards you, I see a lot of gray hair. And you know that's good, because the Bible says gray hair is a crown of glory gained in a righteous life, Proverbs 16. So that's wonderful. I'm thankful for the elderly and middle-aged being here. But where are the youth? We have some, praise God, but where have they gone? Why are they not here? Why in most churches in America and Europe are they absent? What's the end result for them and for us if they remain absent? So today, that's what I'd like to talk with you about. Where are the young people in church? Where have they gone and why? And what does God want you and me to do in order to help bring them back to the knowledge of the truth? So what can we say? Well, first of all, once again, where are they? Obviously, the answer, not here. The ones we have, praise God. You've been given a gift. You are a gift to us, and we rejoice in that. But the reality is, by and large, in the churches in America and Europe, and in our church, they are absent. Here are a couple of statistics I found. According to a New York Times article from October 2006, of the World War II generation, if you grew up in church, your chances of remaining in church and being a committed Bible-believing Christian, 65% continued. In the baby boomer generation next, 35% continued. And in our generation, the present age, it's projected to be as low as 4% of children raised in the church will remain in the church as adults. Yikes! There's a research by Barna Research Group and USA Today that found that nearly 75% of all Christian young people raised in the church do not continue after what? High school, right? 75% cease to attend when they go away to college or the university. In fact, there was a study in 1980, 88% of all college freshmen listed no religious preference as their religion. By 2009, that went up to 29%, said basically, I ain't got no religion. And so I know that there are a lot of parents out there today in our congregation that have children that have gone away to college or university, and you, with great tears, would say, that's true for my child, that they grew up in the church, took them to church every Sunday, and don't know what happened. They went away, and they haven't returned since. And so I know it's something very close and dear to your hearts. It's a serious situation, wouldn't you say? What's it tell us about the future of the church and our congregation? Well, if this trend continues for a decade or two, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this. And by the way, most of you are rocket scientists. So this is NASA. If the older generation dies and the younger generation doesn't come to church, what's that mean in the future? There'll be nobody left in church when the older generation that's coming to church now goes home to glory. And I want you guys to stay here as long as possible, but when I look around at our congregation, I know a lot of us are 70s, 80s, 90s. I want to ask you a question. What's Christ Lutheran Church going to look like in 20 years from now if we don't reach the young of our community? What will there any be left anyone here for me left to preach to? Praise God, I know we will. But it's a serious situation we ask today. Where are our youth? What can we do about it? For the present generation, we need to face that reality, are largely absent, and more so all the time, from Christian congregations in America and Europe. So what's God say to us about this in the Bible? Well, for one, we know that this is a sign of the Lord's coming, actually. Because we read here in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples said to Jesus, tell us, when will this be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? And Jesus said, answered, take heed that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. Verse 10, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. So what's it tell you about the end times? Before the Lord's coming, there is supposed to be, predicted by Christ, a great falling away from the church. And I think we're seeing that, so that should make us all the more alert and zealous to reach them, by the way, because the Lord's coming is drawing near. What's Paul say in 2 Timothy chapter 3? In the last days, there'll come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion, but denying the power of it. Avoid such people, says Paul. Sounds like looking at the news today, doesn't it? So we're nearing the time of the end. Part of it is just something that happens before the Lord's coming. But you know what? The good news is we also know God's will towards children today and to the youth. It's the same as in every age. 1 Timothy 2, God desires all men everywhere to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's what God wants for them, salvation. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. And so that makes our mission very clear. His will for children and young people also in this life is crystal clear in Scripture. Malachi chapter 2, God says, and what does he desire? Godly offspring. And so he says in that passage, stop getting divorced. It's ruining the children. And Ecclesiastes 12, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when you say, I have no pleasure in them, and you're going to the doctor every day. No, it doesn't say that part, but God wants when a young person has that youthful energy and vibrancy that is so characteristic of young people, that they should remember their Creator and strive after serving Him while they yet have that great strength. And Jesus tells us by His life where He wants children to be found. Remember, they go up to Jerusalem, as they always did at Passover. His parents are heading home. Jesus stays behind. They go seeking him. Where do they find him? In the temple, speaking to the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, talking about the word of God. Mary said, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. And he says, how is it that you sought me? How is it that you didn't know where I was? Surely, didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house? So where does God want to see young people today? In the Father's house, discussing the Word of God, asking questions and giving answers, and growing in their knowledge of the Lord. But again, the reality we face today is most youths are not here. They've been off somewhere else. And the sanctuary here is not the voice of children or of young men and women, at least in great numbers. And so, next big question we're all waiting for, right? Why? Why don't we see young children? Why are they not coming? Where have they gone? Well, you can learn something about the answer to this in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Joshua chapter 2, we hear of a generation that was faithful and the younger went astray. Same as ours. Let's hear. When Joshua, remember he led the people into the promised land, dismissed the people, they went each to his inheritance. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work which the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua died. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work which he'd done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals, false gods. And they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they went after the gods among the gods of the peoples who were round about them and bowed down to them and provoked the Lord to anger. So what do you see in the Bible? An older generation that's, let's say, at least going to church, they are faithful, and the younger generation, not there. They went after other gods. They were absent. And why? In this passage, I think that it's insightful looking into it, says it's because the older generation didn't teach the younger generation about the works of the Lord. Why didn't they know it? There arose another generation after them who didn't know the Lord or the work which he'd done for Israel. You know what God said in Deuteronomy? He said this as a command. Hear, O Israel, these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. I want to ask you, do you with young children teach them the word of God in your homes and educate them, or do you leave that to me? Can I undo in 25 minutes what's taken 7 days to accumulate? Can I take all the trash out? What we see in Scripture is the charge is to parents to train their children. And I will help by training and teaching you each Sunday. But I can't do it. It's in the Bible, chiefly the job of the father and of the mother. But that generation didn't do it. And so their children grew up and quickly were beckoned and lured and enticed into the religion of all the peoples that were round about them of wickedness and evil. Do you think that could be said of our present youthful generation falling away? That they have gone astray because they were not well armed with the truth of God's word in their homes to defend themselves against the evils of the culture that lurks all about them? For when our children and our youths go away to college or a university and 75% quickly fall away, what shall we say? Well, I want to consider then with you for a moment some of the dangers that our youths are facing today, which I think are unprecedented. They're worse than any other generation. For one, they have to deal with youthful passions, which, all right, we all dealt with and maybe still do. For we all have, as Paul says, an old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful lusts. And so if you talk with a young person, what do they got going on? Hormones, right? Hormones. My voice is cracking.
Hormones.
And they are being, if they are not guided by the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, then they just go and follow all the things that are round about them in the culture that is about them. And what's the culture like? Constantly, lewdly, lasciviously beckoning them, do what we do. Follow after the lusts and the passions of your heart, not sharing with them by the wisdom of years that these things end in the heartbreak of a lost lover or lovers, the loss of dignity, because they've given their body to strangers, the pain of divorce, the downward spiral of alcohol abuse, or the empty road of worldly riches and all the pleasures of this life. I ask you, how shall they escape all these? How shall we escape if not for wielding the word of God and being trained in it and knowing these things? Therefore, the wisdom of Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 11, facetiously, sort of, satirically, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. And let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Go ahead, walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, the Lord will bring you into judgment. Think about that, huh? Would that be a word for our youth today? Remember what Paul says to Timothy? Shun youthful passions and aim at righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who love God from a pure heart. That's what our youth need. Because these things will lead to peace and joy in their lives and eternal life in Jesus Christ. What's more, let's talk about the danger of the present culture. You know, we all had youthful passions. Amen? Raise your hand if you had youthful passions. I knew I can get you guys to raise your hands again. We're going to get you raising your hands in this congregation. But think of how much more difficult it is for the youth today. You know, when we grew up, there was more moderate television and maybe less of it. But I preach 25 minutes on a Sunday on average. I know it may seem different, but that's what it is. Your kids go to school for 30 hours and are taught things like evolution and that there is no God worldview. You can't mention Jesus' name. And by the way, here's some free condoms. I know that's what they do. Kids spend 30 hours in front of the TV, bombarded by lewd commercials, raunchy sitcoms, getting worse and worse, or hours on Facebook or surfing the internet, chatting with one another, and playing games. How can I take all that trash out in 25 minutes if the parents don't do it at home through the week? It's too much. And by the way, they're entertained to the nines by our culture's movies that make heroes of, get this, vampires, witchcraft, the occult, and dabbling in things of darkness. Amen? You've seen all that. And it seems so harmless and adventurous. How then shall I, in 25 minutes, keep them from dabbling in the things of darkness in their own lives, thinking it's fun to look into these things, when in fact they're real and supernatural and evil? And have you noticed in movies today that there are no more married couples? You know, where's, you know, hello, Lucy? There is no more hello, Lucy, married couples. It's, you know, living together outside of marriage, and you're fortunate if at least they're faithful outside of marriage to each other and that they're heterosexual and not same sex. I saw actually this week Tom Selleck had kissed Kevin Kline. Huh, Tom Selleck, Magnum P.I.? Yeah, you can go and look that up. What is that? Leonardo, what's his name? DiCaprio, smooching with a guy. Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean, smooching with a guy on TV. And this is what our youths are watching and being desensitized to it, thinking, well, at least I'm not that bad. But look, how am I going to teach in 25 minutes from this pulpit a joy of a clean and pure life that God has for them and a fulfilled sexual life with their spouse? I can't do it in 25 minutes unless it is done at home. And the music and the songs that are sung, they are so upbeat and peppy, I'll tell you, they entice me. But then I hear the words and they're peppered with lyrics from hell. Come, sleep with me tonight. Cast off all reason and discretion. Forget thinking about it. Give into uncontrolled lust and passion. And we'll be young forever. Oh, yeah, I hear that all the time. We'll be young forever. No, you won't, says God. No, you won't. And finally, they're taught things all the time, from day one of their lives with entertainment industry. Listen to your heart. Trust your feelings. Follow your heart. Oh, evil generation. Does not Jeremiah 17 say the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt? Who can understand it? Yes, says the devil, these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Oh, what a wicked web he's weaving to our youths. So we've got to teach our children. I'll teach from the pulpit. I'll do my best in church when you bring them. But the job and the charge is to parents, especially to fathers, but also to mothers, that they raise their children. You, Deuteronomy 12:6, you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. For if not, they'll leave home, go to the university, and like the wild asses of the mountains, they'll go forth and not return to you, and their end will be doom, if not remedied. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him. He's caught in the toils of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, being because of his great folly he is lost. If you'll not teach them, who will? I'll tell you who will. The evil one will. And so we need to give into their hands the word of God to wield as a great sword, and they will be safe. And you can rescue them even today if they've gone astray. For the word never returns void. And lastly, there's danger in churches today. I understand why they're running. If I went to most churches in America today, or Europe, I'd run too. You know, there was a survey of over 7,000 Protestant pastors, 7,740 51% of Methodists, pastors, 35% of Presbyterian, 30% Episcopalian, 33% of all American pastors do not believe Jesus rose again bodily from the dead on the third day. Physical resurrection. In other words, they're not even Christians, and they're pastoring the flock. The shepherds are stupid, says God. Therefore, the flock is shattered. I would run too if I were raised in that kind of mush and hogwash that is preached there. They need a straight word from their pastors, a straightforward from their parents, spoken in love, so that they be armed and not given just pizza parties and 2-liter bottles of soda and entertaining them into the kingdom of God. God's in the Bible has always been, you come into my kingdom by the preaching of the word, straight and clear. And what is that word? Repentance and forgiveness of sins. Preached in Jesus' name to all nations, that he died on the cross, that he is the one true Savior of the world, and that by him and him alone can a man be saved, or a woman, or a child. What can avail against the devil, against years of immoral education, flashing images of pornography everywhere you go? You can't go to the supermarket without seeing it. Against the entertainment industry, the lies of our age, but one thing and one thing only, the word of God. And if they go to college unarmed, they will be mincemeat for their liberal, atheistic, anti-religious professors. But I'll tell you something. If you send out your children armed with the word of God and trained to wield it, their professors will be mincemeat before them. Because could evolution stand for one moment, do you think, if brought into the light of the truth and the evidence for it? It'd fall and crumble to ashes, but they're not taught to contend against it. But remember, we are contending not against flesh and blood humans, but we're contending against principalities, the world rulers of this present darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places behind the scenes of the colleges, the music, and the entertainment. Therefore, Paul says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Parents, will you do that? Put into your children the word of God, saturated day and night, here and there, when they wake and then when they rise. If you have young ones who have grown up and gone away to college and have departed the faith, avail yourself of all prayer and give them the word in whatever way you can, in the Facebook, in a phone conversation. Whether or not they receive it or not, the word will not return void. Speak it to them and to the lost children of Cape Canaveral. Growing up in broken homes, Cape Canaveral in 2000 was the number one city in the United States for divorce per capita. And what does God desire? Godly offspring. Therefore, do not be faithless to the wife of your youth, for I hate divorce, says the Lord. It causes ungodly children. Our children in our community are lost, a lot of them. They are broken. They need the truth. And you see, when they come, they love to hear it. And so when they come, let's rejoice and love them. And why? For our sakes? So that our church is here in 20 years? Forget that. Who cares about that? But that they may be saved, and that they may know the Lord and enjoy him for all eternity. And pass it on then to their children and to their children's children all the way until the coming of the Lord, that they may be heirs with us in the kingdom of God forever and ever. And what's our inspiration for all these things? I'll tell you what our inspiration is. It's God himself, our Father, who sought us when we were lost children, condemned children of wrath, forsaken the paths of righteousness in dark places of sin. He came and sought us as a good father, as a shepherd. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, laid down his life for you on the cross, took your sins, died your death, rose again from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness can be preached to you today. And I preach to you, repent, believe, and you are forgiven and are heirs of the kingdom of God with him. So we conclude then with these words from Psalm 78. I will open my mouth in a parable. I'll utter dark sayings from of old, things which we've heard and known that our fathers told us. We'll not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders which he's wrought, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Yes, and even as Jesus said, this is his commandment, eternal life. In Jesus' name.